The Use Podcast, DJ World Premiere, Scoliosis. We got Doko in the house.
Yo.
We got Lovelace in the house.
What's happening?
And we have a unmentioned guest in the house.
I just thought that would be funny, my bad.
I hate your voice. That's your favorite thing to do.
Oh, no, it's the best shit ever. Nothing breaks awkward silence more than throwing the baby voice on with the heavy echo and just doing the most randomest of things. Mm-hmm. If I could do that in real life, my quality of life would be probably like 5 tiers better.
Hello.
You can't do that? You can't do that?
I spent too much time in Baltimore. And they'd be like, yeah, like, it's real nasty. The Baltimore accents are terrible. Can y'all tell me the top 3 worst accents in the States?
Ooh. See, it's got to be Baltimore. It's got to be Massachusetts, Boston area. And then it's also got to be Louisiana.
Yo.
Ow. Wow.
Jesus.
Wow, not the... Hey, family. Shout out to the Franklins out there. I'm sorry. we do not agree with everything that's said on the Use Podcast. I don't stand by that.
Yeah, I don't condone that opinion at all. I don't have a worse accent.
Well, if you ain't stepping on the ledge, don't commit. Don't comment on me.
You got it.
I'm trying to help us go forward. He asked a question. It can't be mute. This is an audio broadcast.
This nigga's chasing the pop.
Chasing.
Hey.
I'm going to say and this is very specific, the Massachusetts whites. Because Bobby Brown don't sound like the Massachusetts whites.
Well, when you say Boston accent, you don't think of niggas. You think of the white people. I know New Edition, and I know our unnamed guest that's from the Boston area. I don't know no other black people up there. I'm sorry.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
It's a gang of black people up there. I think it's low key because the whites.
Oh, Benzino and them. Benzino and them. Yeah,
the Massachusetts whites are racist. They can't be racist if there's no black people to hate.
That's not true.
They got into,
but
what do you want from the guy?
I don't know, bro. Pittsburgh.
Go to the market.
But Boston is considered New England, so they group all of them states together. They don't even just leave it at Boston. They do New England now, and they group, what is that, 3-4 states all into one? So you can get the races. Yeah.
3? Okay. Okay.
It's like the northern tri-state area, but the northeastern version.
Speaking of tri-state, that shit fucked me up as a kid, not having been up in this area. I used to be like, what the hell is the tri-state? Because I always knew New York, New Jersey. I could never figure out the third state. And then when I found out fucking Connecticut, I was like, what?
Yeah,
see, I just learned something.
Massachusetts whites, Minnesota, don't you know? Like the Minnesota Jones, if you hear somebody from like the Minnesota Midwest.
Minnesota.
Lake Minnetonka. Like it goes up there, but sometimes it stretches to the Detroit whites because they're so close to Canada.
See, I'm not as y'all. I can't really speak on that.
Oh man, and the last but not least, and niggas is gonna, you know, whatever. Call me whatever you want to call me, but Ohio,
they gotta
nope.
The Pittsburgh. Ohio whites.
Ohio don't got an accent, though.
No.
You talk about that worse.
That Pittsburgh, Delaware, Pennsylvania, that dirty ass. Well, maybe I'm just immune to it because mom's is from there.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So maybe I'm just immune to it, but I think that accent is kind of endearing. It reminds me of the cookouts where
go wash your clothes.
Yeah.
Fuck no, bro. I hate that shit.
Nah, to drag everything. Drag all the syllables. Mm-hmm. And like, it's peace.
Bro, what is Warsh isn't a word though. Like, where you get the R from?
No, no, it's not an R. It sounds like an R, it's but it's the stretched out A, and they put like a U in there. Like it's instead of seeing an A,
you're right. A U hey, that's it. So funny.
What are we doing?
But anyway, we off of accents. If you got a filthy accent and you want to come to the pod and record some drops, reach out to the gang, and we'll definitely give you your time to shine. We need the drops in multiple accents.
That'd be hard. The used.
This is the used.
Ooh, I got somebody to get.
That'd be hard.
So we had a good week. We recorded last week. We're very consistent on the used podcast.
So far.
To update me on how y'all weeks went this week.
You can go ahead, Lovelace.
Man, you know, light week, man. It's a light pack. No baseball today, so I ain't have to stress with that. Gotta say, the injury has been injuring, dog. Like, I've been going through it this week. I've been going through it, man. Y'all say some prayers for me. I gotta get an epidural procedure next week, bro.
I shouldn't laugh at that. I should have left. Wait, you pregnant?
Yeah, that's the only time I ever seen the epidural.
That's what I thought. I was like, wait, what? But yes, yeah, so apparently it's a procedure that they use to help with the muscle tightness, pause, and all of that. So
they about to shoot you up with that good dope.
and I had to get prescribed medicine, man.
My man's about to get in fetal position. Yo, don't move. For the next 3 minutes, okay? You're going to feel some pressure.
Yep.
You're going to feel some pressure, right?
Yep.
Hey, so tell me your medical etiquette. Do you prefer men or lady nurses and or doctors?
And are you shaving your ass?
Whoa. Whoa.
We're getting down to the...
Well, I will say... I'm not at the age yet where I got to get my colon checked or my prostate checked, so I'm going to hold off on shaving my ass, okay?
Okay.
Two, I really don't have a preference, man. I just need somebody that's professional and that can do the job. Pause.
Like, they handle me with care.
Like, I just need somebody to know what the fuck they doing, because us as black people, we don't want to be in the hospital to begin with. Facts. So I'm trying to get out of there as soon as possible, man.
Facts.
Unscathed.
I don't go to the doctor.
I don't care if you're the finest woman out there. If you don't got no experience, don't touch me. Don't touch me.
But you not getting a rundown of their experience before you drop trowel.
Facts.
When they make you
drop trowel. You ask me what I prefer.
When they make you put on the little paper napkin, Joel.
It ain't paper no more.
You don't get, hey, shorty, let me see your resume before I take my socks off and put on this
Facts.
Paper towel. Like, let me see your resume. Hey,
I promise you, every time my wife has went for labor and delivery, I ask them how long they've been doing what they've been doing.
That's labor and delivery. We talking about you going to the
doctor. I don't go to the hospital often. So checkup. When I go in there on Thursday, I'm going to ask them, hey, how many of these procedures you do? Like, how long have you been doing this? I'm going to ask that. That's my brain.
Yeah. Well, if they say this is my first one, which
oh, mean? I'm gonna be like, I can't do it. I'm a
nah. You got me fucked up, Lovelace. Hey, no, this your first one, Fam Ron. This my first one too. We about to learn together.
We learn together.
No.
We about to learn together.
That needle was going in my back. Pause. Like, no.
I had a spinal tap before, and when homeboy was just like, hey. You're not going to feel a lot of pain. I say, how many spinal taps did you get personally? None. Okay, cool. So you're not qualified to have this conversation with me, my man. But thank you for the good, kind words.
Yeah. The good, kind words. No, I'm cool.
Nah, I'm cool. Like,
nope.
I need to know. I got to ask these questions because, like, I promise you could have went to the best school in the world. You could have went to Johns Hopkins or wherever. But... No.
She went if to ICT ain't did this Tech. Before,
if you went to where did Romeo go? If you went to ITT Tech,
you went to Dubai.
She went to ITT Tech, nigga. You about to get this fucking needle in your back happily? Shut up.
My son was on the couch at 3 a.m. and homeboy came up said, "You're not doing nothing else with your wife."
Hey, Lovelace was in so much pain. He was complaining about the rental.
He said, "This isn't big enough for me."
Hey, my back was hurting there. Now they got me in the Tahoe. My back feel good. Like I can lean back like Fat Joe, and I can be driving comfortably now. My head ain't at the ceiling no more.
Speaking of driving. Somebody in this podcast purchased a few cars
in the last 3 weeks.
All right, relax. Because I'm pretty sure Uncle Sam listens to the pod.
Oh, allegedly.
But, yeah, today I was out and about, and I saw a car that I liked, and I, you know, stopped by the lot. Hey, I'm interested in this vehicle. And I just so happened to have cash on me. Could I test drive said vehicle?
That's a flick.
I test drove it. The leather seats was leathering.
Y'all gonna stop things saying things are thinging. Like, pause.
No, you gotta know that the leather is leathering.
The leather seats.
Sometimes the leather just sit there.
My neck been necking. Like,
no, that was a pause when he said it though. But no, I mean it was a comfortable ride. You know, the AC was cold. Didn't make no crazy noises. So boom, check it. I'm riding the drone. Pause. I do some laps. Hit the interstate. Take it up to 90. And I didn't even realize that this is why people was getting out of my way until I sent the picture to the group chat.
It looked like a cop car, nigga.
No, no, it's like, oh, cop ass, nigga. No,
like, oh, ass, nigga, why did you buy that? Like,
didn't even put two and two together. Hey, I was like, oh,
it's clean, dude. It's clean, though.
No, that shit is clean, but you look like the feds now, for real.
I'm the feds. Like, and I'm bald on purpose.
Mm.
All right. Hey,
so you what? Carl Winslow on the interstate.
Bro, I'm not. Every time relax. You say it, I'm never letting you get that off.
What you mean?
You would not cash you on purpose.
No, I'm definitely bald on purpose.
All right.
If you grew your hair out for the next 3 months, where would your hairline be?
Wayne Brady.
My hairline?
Yes.
Chico Bean. Very Chico Bean like. I got the cul-de-sac, right? But this is what I'm saying to y'all. Y'all are saying that I'm not bald on purpose. What I'm saying is I just purchased two cars in 4 weeks, less than 4 weeks.
Oh.
If I wanted a hairline.
You could do the Tyga and Tory Lanez.
I book a flight. I go to Turkey. I hang out.
Oh, my God.
And I'm a hairy.
He is well-traveled. I'm sure he got a connect there.
I'm Yugoslavian. Like, I'm hairy like a bear. Like, they could just take the... They can just take the line out of my sweater vest and my chest, and boom, now I got a fro again.
Hey, I would say this, Scully. You could grow your hair out to the Chico Bean and go up there to Europe, bro, and you would fit right in. Like, 100%. They would just think you was out there on the beach and got a tan. They might even know you
get a toupee.
I'm just doing y'all a favor by being bald on purpose. No, like, that's not what it really is.
No, you're not.
No, 100%. If I had hair, and I interacted with any, you know, lady except for your wives. If I interacted with any lady that like loves you in a close proximity, they're gonna be like, "Yo, what's up with your friend, the fat nigga with the sense of humor in the good hairline?"
It's because you try to pull that "I'm charming" shit. Like,
that's not an act. Like, you I'm just pull
that "I'm charming" shit, bro. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm actually charming.
All right, I got a question. When you had hair, was you a wave nigga? Was you a braid nigga? Was you a freeform, natural lock, don't pick your hair nigga? What kind of nigga was you?
So, this is the thing. I'm old. So, I lived through all the styles, all the fads, and I did them all. I did the Jerry curl. I did the Gumby. I did the brown patch Gumby joint. I did a regular high top. I did the rat tail. I did the bowl. I did the Boosie fade. And let me tell you, when my father did the Boosie fade on niggas, it was less fade and more Boosie. So it was the military, the bowl joint. I had the parts, I had the swirl, like I had it all. But before I cut it, before I went bald, I was just a waves nigga, 360 Mahjong. Respect my gangster. Respect my privacy. Respect my privacy. You know what I'm saying? But I had the 360 drills, but I had braids for 7 years, 8 years. Then I went to the 360s for like 8 years, and then boom, I went bald on purpose.
All right, I don't believe nothing you just said without photo proof.
There's photo proof.
It might be truth, but I don't believe you for now.
There's photo proof.
Bro, can you see this with braids?
All through high school. All through high school. From the seventh grade until I had
prom.
I had braids. And they was long. And the girls would like never want to braid it because it looked super nappy and thick. And then they would fucking go to braid it and they'd be like, oh my gosh, your hair's softer than I thought it was. Like that, Lovelace, tell me, that's the shit, right? That's the best compliment ever. Oh my gosh, your hair's nothing like it looks.
Hey. Oh, Scully tried to get that I'm Puerto Rican shit off.
That shit, funny as fuck.
I thought I was Panamanian until I took the ancestry.
That makes sense.
Wait, you gave them niggas your DNA?
100%.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, no.
I'm not a criminal, dog. I can give them my DNA.
Time out, man.
Time for the red pill.
Time out, man.
Here we go. A nigga with mad kids telling me he's secure about his DNA. No. Proceed, sir. Tell me how to make sure I secure my DNA.
Well, the person I'm giving my DNA to lives with me, okay?
All right, you got it.
Okay, that's first thing. Two, which service, you can bleep it out or whatever you need to. I need to know what service you use so I can know the accuracy.
Ancestry.
Okay, so Ancestry, I think that was the first one, right?
Nah, History, 123. That,
oh, we don't count them no more. I'm sorry. Of the people that, like, the prominent guys now, they were before 23 and the other joint.
Yeah, 23andMe and the other. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ancestry.
Okay.
That's why I got them, because it was more accurate.
All right, so did they give you a lifetime membership, or was it a couple of months where you could go on there and check?
I got a lifetime membership to check, but I got 6 months of access to their Census Bureau data.
Okay.
So they do the legwork for you online.
Mm-hmm.
You tell them your grandma was raised here, and they'll go to all the city hall documents to track down whatever. Her high school records, her birth records, and they'll get the official joints.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can add it to your family tree, because when the fuck are you ever going to see those records again?
I got you.
So build your family tree in that time period that you get the free trial.
Okay. So my question here is, do you feel like it benefited you at all? Do you feel like you learned more about yourself or where you come from?
Yeah, you know he's black.
100%. 100%. Because I know I'm black. I know I'm 32% Nigerian. Shout out to the gang.
Scammers didn't hit you all the way. I got you.
Nah, that means
32% is a lot.
It just means you got it in you, but it ain't for you.
It's in me, not on me. But for me, it was beneficial because my father's side of the family, the patriarch of my father's side of the family, he wasn't available to give me this information. Okay. Who your great-great-grandfather's name was. Like, so I found out that my father's side of the family came from San Diego. And this was their history. And then somehow they migrated from San Diego to Oklahoma to Louisiana. And then I got to see pictures that my mom has never seen of her mom in school. And I'm talking yearbook photos, commentary, superlatives when they were talking about my grandmother. My mom never seen that shit, so I got to share it with her. She was geeked up, and she's just like you. I'm never giving those people my DNA. And I'm like, well, what did, how many bodies did you catch in the 70s to where you're scared to give your DNA up in 2020?
I mean, if it works the way I think it works, if you gave it up, they got her shit anyways.
Yeah, but if you did something specifically, they need that specific, I guess that specific marker. That's what I seen on Law and Order.
Mm, okay.
Ooh, Law and Order.
Listen, Law and Order got the heat. But enough of this ancestry stuff. Doko, you've stalled enough. Tell us about your week, sir.
Yes.
I wasn't stalling. I was letting y'all talk. You know, I was trying to, you know. I was being courteous here. But my week has been cool. I, as you know, I told you guys last week, I'm expanding business. So I'm training somebody this week. And that's been that's been interesting. The first 2 days were cool, and then like on day three, there's like a little hiccup in like one of the buildings. They're like still doing construction, so I didn't want to bring like a new person down there where there was like an active construction site. And my vibe was kind of off anyway, so I was like, bro, you can go home. Like, I'll see you tomorrow. And then I kind of told y'all about that briefly, but like, I've been used to doing this shit for so long by myself that I don't know if I want to deal with other people. Like, I'd rather just do this shit myself.
Do you have a hard time working with others?
For the shit that I do, I guess you could say that.
Is it a result of you working by yourself for so long?
Yeah, nigga.
So, where's your patience?
With my kids? The fuck, nigga? You don't know how to vacuum? Like, what the fuck do I need patience on? Bro, it's, come on, man. You see the floor, you vacuum the floor. Motherfucker, you see the, like, it's not that difficult, bro. Like, I think the problem is I'm expecting my quality of work out of people who may not.
That's what I was going to say to you. I was going to ask because my wife is this way. There's a specific way that you know how to clean and your expectations of cleaning. And because it's your business, that's the standard that you have set with your clientele.
Yeah.
So, but like we talk about with other shit, you got to give somebody that's off the street a little bit of grace. If they doing this 3 months from now, then yes, absolutely. You know, you got to let them go. It's not clicking. But day one, day two, no, you got to mold them, bro. You got to mold them into there. And then when they get to the point where they get that first building knocked out the way that you're looking at it, then that's where you can graduate, move them to another building. And it makes it easier on you down the road. You got to, what we always talk about, you got to think of the long term, bro. You in that moment, and I understand you giving up the keys a little bit, and it's hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be harder when your boys get older, and you got to give them keys up, or maybe give them keys to drive. Treat it that way with your business. I know it's your baby, but you got to, you growing, bro. There's no way you can keep doing this on your own. It's no way.
Why not, though?
It's no way, because you're going to run yourself too thin. If you were just single Doko, you could probably do it. But you're multi-layered Doko. You doing a pod with your boys. You doing parenting. You're a spouse. You're a business owner. You're a black man in America. Like, that's a lot for you to do without having multi-personalities. And I done talked to you enough. You're not built that way. So where's this all going to go filter out to?
I mean, you got a point. My reply would be, I've done it by myself so far. So why stop something that's working?
I know but why. I know why.
But I hear you.
I know why.
I do hear you. Why?
I think Chris Rock said it once. He was talking about a young lady who was a single parent. And she was like, I can raise these kids all by myself. It's like, you can, but You don't have to. It's the same thing with your work. Like, what you are showing, and I'm going to get into some therapy shit, that's past generational shit. Hey, I showed you how to wash the dishes. You didn't wash the dishes to my liking. So instead of me showing you how to wash the dishes to my liking, mm-hmm. you just don't wash the dishes no more. And how then... does somebody get better if you take them off the chessboard?
Hey, real quick, but when you do that shit where you just tell them don't do the dishes no more, and then that motherfucker stop offering to do the dishes, and you always have to do the dishes after you done did everything else, now you got more resentment. But you said stop doing the fucking dishes. That's all, man. Like, that shit gonna wear on you, bro. You got, what, 5 new locations?
Yeah.
You said your biggest thing is getting home. That's more time. That's at least another, what, 2 hours? Minimum? Not including the drive?
Minimum. Yeah.
So, what we talking about? Your day already going 8-9 hours. You're going to add another 2 on that. Now you 10-11 hours. You sleep, what, at least 5 to 6 hours? Where's mm-hmm. your day at? Especially once your kids start going to school, where's your day at?
When they go to school.
So, boy, that's what I'm saying. Like,
they at school.
But so you think in the next 3 years, when your kids are going to school, you gonna have everything that you need done by 3 p.m.?
Mm-mm. Nah, probably not.
See, that's what I'm saying. Because some of them buildings you can't take care of while they still in their work day.
True.
So
set boundaries.
Your days, man.
Set boundaries. Get help. Set boundaries for your day. Set boundaries for the people that are helping you. I'm going to show you twice. I'm going to watch you do it. If you don't do it to my liking, I'm going to ask you open-ended questions. Hey, why'd you do it that way? What was different from my demonstration to your execution? You got to coach somebody through this. And you're always going to have to do this when you bring new people on. But I believe it's your responsibility to influence the next you.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
Gunshots? Gunshots?
Mm. Yeah, that's fair. That actually... Okay, that makes me... Y'all would consider that a weakness?
Absolutely not.
I would consider it a weakness. My inability to release the reins a little bit is definitely something I need to work on. What would be something y'all consider y'all biggest weaknesses?
My biggest thing is still going, bro. My patience. My patience level. It's a work in progress every day. It's still, sometimes my wife got to check me and be like, yo, why you talking like that? And I'm like, and I don't catch it. It's like, what you mean? But it's like an instant reaction. Mm-hmm. Even though you try to make sure you process it before it come out, mm-hmm. Your natural self is always going to keep going. That's why you got to keep working on it. And like, I got to catch myself and my kids sometimes. Like, maybe I had a long day at work or something going on, but they still kids. But sometimes they catch it because I feel like we've already talked about
six kids.
So it's got to reset every day. Kind of go back to the job thing. You got to reset every day the expectation level. Because when it's not just you, and it's other people, you got to have that room for error. I look at it like.
Okay.
Inspect what you expect.
Say that again?
Inspect what you expect. So he's talking about his patience level. I'm decently confident at some point somebody was less than patient to you, and that made you operate erratically. That makes you operate differently, right? Because Like, why you not giving me no time to adjust? I'm just learning this. I'm just new to this. Why are you? I'm just trying to do something new and boom, boom, boom. And you get erratic because somebody's making you move hastily. You have to inspect what you expect. Hey, if I want you to be patient with me, with whatever we're doing, I got to expect you. I got to be more patient with you so that you give me that same grace.
Okay, that's what we're doing today.
Listen, I'm my okay. shit is ugly. Okay. My weakness is I'm a fixer
of people or things,
both,
or of everything,
both. I'm a fixer person like a motherfucker. I promise you that I will fix a person, but
perfect daddy.
I will always fix a thing, and that's not what I'm here in most situations for, especially in relationships with people, specifically in the opposite sex. You bring me a bag of problems. Your intention or your goal is to just vent. But as soon as you start talking, I got the mental notebook. Okay, so you need this. Okay, so you need this.
Yes.
Okay, so you need this.
Stop offering solutions.
I'm not even offering a solution. I'm just doing it.
Okay.
Because I'm a fixer. Oh, so this is a problem for you? Guess what? Boom. I went and did it. I took care of it for you because you said it was a problem yesterday. And I get the worst looks you ever seen in your life. Like, I ain't ask you to do that. I know, but you just said that this was like this and it was stressing you out. And I don't want you to be stressed out. So,
invasive to you?
No, it's not invasive. Because if you brought it to me, if you are comfortable enough sharing this with me,
yeah,
then me fixing it shouldn't be an issue. Because to me, in my mind, that's why you brought it to me, because you know the type of nigga I am. You know I'm going to fix it. You know I just can't walk past your squeaky ass screen door every day. One day I'm going to come over here with my toolbox and some WD-40 and I'm going to fix that screen door for you. But it's not, but I have to learn that it's not always my place to fix things, because if I always fix things for you, now you're dependent. Now you rely on me to fix things all the time, and I'm rewarding poor behavior because there's no growth in you.
Is it being reliant, or is it them letting you do what they know you want to do, something that's already in your character?
But that's selfish.
On whose behalf?
That's selfish on my behalf for you to let me do what I want to do. I want to fix things. That's selfish for me to always get to fix it. Don't you want to fix your problems sometimes?
No, not if you're going to fucking fix it.
See, you're the type of person that doesn't care that I'm a fixer. But some people care that I'm a fixer because they don't get the fulfillment of fixing the problem themselves. And that's a problem for some people. Like, I wanted to do this. My credit was fucked up. You made me an authorized user on one of your credit cards and my credit got really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't know how to manage my credit.
Yes, okay.
I never learned nothing from that lesson because you fixed it for me.
Hold on now, but what I'm hearing is you provide aid without a lesson attached to it.
Correct, because most people don't want the lesson, the lecture behind.
Then you got to stop fucking helping niggas.
I can't. It's in my nature.
Yeah, it's in your nature to trick, nigga. That's why.
No, it's not. It's not just tricking though. I understand.
No, you can trick on your family. I don't hear that.
I'm the youngest. I'm the baby.
Okay.
Things have been fixed for me my entire life.
Okay. So you just paying it forward?
Somebody always cleaned up the mess that I made. Always. My whole life. Somebody always... I could go fuck some shit up today and somebody's gonna come in and be like, yo, hey, I'm getting sick of your shit, bro. And they're while they're cleaning up my mess, I'm really getting sick of your shit. But that was it. So that's what I know. That's caring to me. Like when somebody's in your life and they that deep, that's caring to me. And it's funny because professionally, I'm not like that at all. Yes, I'm going to fix the problem, but I'm going to coach your ass through it. Hey, so you see where you fucked up? This is where you fucked up. This is how do you, what do you think this was like for the customer? Like, I'm going to fucking coach you the fuck down. But in personal life, that coaching shit don't work because people will not bring you their problems because sometimes people just want the fix and not the lecture to go with it. Kids specifically, they do not want the lecture in the moment. I just got a phone call. Hey, I want to go out to a party and I'm a broke college student. And you just gave me money, but can I have $30? $30? What kind of party are you going to? Never mind. Well, no, I just want to know what kind of party you're going to because it's probably a cover at the door. Yeah, the cover's $15. So what are you going to do with $15? You asked for $30. What are you going to do for $15? I'll probably get something to eat. Well, check day was yesterday. I just gave you money yesterday.
That don't matter.
And you're already asking me for $30. And you got to live for the next 2 weeks. I sent $100.
My nigga, see, that's why I came to you.
Because, well, no, but I explained why I sent $100 because you got to live for 2 weeks. And if you already scraping the bottom of the barrel and you was about to go to a party with $15, don't make me look crazy, number one. But
that's the strategy, though, bro. You ask for the low and she know Pop's going to send the high. Like, come on.
Sometimes that's the strategy, but a lot of times it's
Lovelace. Am I wrong?
No,
his kids aren't old enough.
That,
they do that shit with cookies. Look at daddy dropping two cookies here.
So let's talk about
my oldest child got over $1,500 to her possession right now. You know why that is?
Because your money spent better than hers.
Because no, not my money. Because of her mother lets her skate on by. I'd be like, nah, you need to go pull that out. Because it's all about teaching that fundamental. Because, God forbid, if you dropped right now today, them learned behaviors, not going to unlearn anytime soon.
Right. Tomorrow. Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, that's when the lecture comes. But when you're asking, especially think about every independent black woman you know. And I say independent black woman because I want to raise the bar from adolescence, child stage. I want to talk about independent black women. How difficult is it for an independent black woman to ask you to do something?
Hold on. Rephrase that. Do you mean in general or like in my connection with my spouse? Like, how do you mean that?
Your spouse, your siblings, your female cousins, any black woman that you would do a favor for financially or a physical favor. Yo, I need somebody to come do some maintenance in my bathroom. How difficult is it for an independent woman to ask you to do something versus doing it for themselves and then asking you to help them fix it?
So I don't think it should be isolated on independent women because that's very
that's
layered.
A women question.
That's very layered.
Yeah, I think that's a women question.
It's a very layered question.
To answer your question, though,
independence. I could be financially independent, but I may not be socially independent. Like, okay. She could be independent in a sense of, yo, I like to do everything for me, but I still need to feel that love. So I'm gonna look for a man to give that to me. Or I'm independent in a sense of love, but I need help financially. It's not, to quote a great person, it's not a monolith. It's like, it's not all one big mix up. It's really,
I'm not talking about the Jones that'll ask you for cash quickly. I'm talking about the ones that'll struggle and they'll go get a payday loan before they come.
It's not independent. It's pride. Prideful.
Independence at that level is extreme pride. It's the failure of pride. Mm-mm.
But I would just put it as a prideful person, a stubborn person, because mm-hmm. a stubborn person is going to struggle before they ask for help or ask for whatever, because they got to prove a point, even though that point ain't helping them.
They'll tag it as independence. They're not going to say stubborn or prideful. I don't want anybody holding anything over my head. You're not going to throw this up in my face later.
I got you.
Like, and I look like, have I ever thrown it in your face?
Have
ever? No, but somebody in 2017 said, and that's why I won't do shit for you no more. And they'll never let it down. Nobody's ever going to say this to me ever again. And they'll call it independence, but I think clinically you can say, yeah, you're just stubborn. You're just hard-headed.
That's interesting. I can't relate to that. Most of the women in my life are prideful, but they'll ask.
Not prideful to a fault.
They're not prideful to say that they need help. They're prideful in their, like, womanhood and, you know, that type of shit. But in the aspect of, hey, I need da-da-da, yeah, they coming to me because they know I'll handle it. I'm spending that check, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? I might buy you.
See, you're not beating the allegation.
Nah, you're not beating the allegation.
I might fucking buy you. But okay, so you might have took that. Okay, so what would be a, would you say that you being a giver or a fixer, is that something based off of experience? Or is that something like that's just in you? Is there something that happened along the way?
No, I think it's what was done for me. So I don't know anything different. I think it's, when we look at life, two things influence you. It's nature or nurture. Nature is everything, your outside environment, what you grew up around, and nurture is your household. So mm-hmm. I think this will be more nurture than anything, because me being the youngest, and my brother will tell you, like, this nigga got away with fucking murder. Like, this nigga got away with shit I'd never get away with. And that's true, because I was the youngest. But I was clearly visually awake while people were doing for me, like, oh shit. So that's how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to do things for others. You're supposed to take care of people that you love. You're supposed to fix other people's problems. And more times than not, I get told, yeah, I didn't want you to fix it. I didn't want you to take action. I just wanted to vent. And I'm like, yeah, but you venting with no plan. Like, you just in here complaining, bro. Like, I just wanted to fix
the part your of it, issue. Bro. That's the part that I find invasive.
What? Somebody fixing your issue?
Yes, because I didn't ask you to fix my issue. I just asked you to hear me out. I just needed somebody to talk to, nigga, before I blew somebody's top.
So, okay, let's paint a picture.
Pause.
You call me and you got beef with the tax man over some property.
Yeah.
And we talk about it for hours and it goes nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I hit my man up, tax suave, and he call you on Monday. Not saying that you got to pay for his services. I took care of his services. He's just calling you so that you can sign whatever paperwork and he can do for you to clear up your issue. Mm-hmm. You mad at me?
Not mad at you, but now I feel like I owe you something.
Why?
Because, nigga, that's, bro, most people don't just do shit because they want to. Most people do shit because there's a return favor expectation or there's a unspoken loyalty that I owe you now. There's an ulterior motive somewhere. Most people.
That's your most people lens. Now put your Scully lens on. You've known Scully for mad long. Mm-hmm. He's been a cool nigga. You go out to dinner with him. You never seen a bill in your life. Like, you know Scully.
Mm-hmm.
Put your Scully lens on.
Mm-hmm.
That's prime character for him, right? He's not going to throw it up in your face. He's not going to hold it against you.
Okay. That's the part that I don't disagree, because I'm the same way. But I've experienced people finding that invasive or just too much.
If we just met last week, 100%. But if not we... Even.
If we, you know, for a long time, they be holding on the gas bill.
But see,
bro, I didn't ask you to do that.
That's the crazy shit to me. Like, how you know me, but don't know how I give it up.
Now, that's true, too. I understand that. Because I am I'll pay the bill person. But I still get resistance every time.
So you a fixer too? Look, we got mad fixers on.
I'm just trying to give the opposite perspective here. I'm definitely a fixer. 100%. Boy, I'm definitely a fixer. For sure. For sure. That's why when we first started and I said stop offering solutions, because I can relate. I'm not good with the whole venting shit. I'm usually, bro, let's fix it. Even when, like, this is off subject, but like when me and my girl are arguing or something, I don't try to let that shit pass a day. Like, bro, we gotta fix this. Like, you hungry? You trying to get some food? Like, like, you trying to talk about this? Cause no, that's,
yeah,
no.
Your hair looked real nice today,
bro. No brush, but that shit is fly.
You doing something new? Is that a new conditioner?
That shit is fly. I feel like Lovelace is the type of nigga to let an argument sit for 6 days.
He's petty.
Bro, you know me so well. Hey, man. In case y'all don't know this by now, I am an extreme person. My wife tells me this. I am an extreme person.
Mm-hmm.
So, me reacting to shit, it's not always the best thing. Sometimes you got to let that shit die down for a couple of days. Because in you in that moment, it's hothead, bro. I ain't had time to get my thoughts together and kind of get it in the right spot. I might say something out the way just because I'm dealing with other shit. Like, all my shit groups together. So,
a person who says how you truly feel when you're mad?
No, because my brain is always ticking, but I can forget the level at which my reaction should come. I may not even, I may blow up and it might be nuclear, but I may not have said everything
I didn't warrant that at all. Like,
yeah,
nigga, why are you hollering?
Because me going off on you could also include the nigga that almost ran me off the road. It can include the motherfucker that said something racist to me at work. It could include all of that shit into one.
You bottle.
Yeah, bro. Like, it's...
So who do you talk to when you feel like you need to...
When I was younger, it was my uncle. But now, I use different services for therapy. Like, just so I can vent with some people that don't know me. But, like, they talk to enough people where they can kind of see like what I might need a tailor or two or work on, mm-hmm. those different type of things. Mm-hmm. I paid a fee to go ahead and mm-hmm. do a video conference or just talk on there and, you know, go from there. And then there are some things that I talk to my wife about, like when it's dealing with other people, but mm-hmm. it kind of just depends on.
Can't talk to your wife about your wife. That shit don't work, bro.
Bro, no.
You can't talk to your wife about your wife, bro. That shit, nope.
And let me tell you what you did yesterday at 7 o'clock and bro, pissed me off.
And this is what you did.
Is it wrong that I'm the person that wants that, though? Like, for when it comes to me? Like, my personality, really bro, know? I'm so warped. No. I promise you. I'm so warped. I want to hear, like, the worst things about myself.
Nah, fuck Cap. That. Don't tell me that. Yeah, Cap. Fuck that. Like, I don't want to hear that shit.
I feed, bro, I'm really psychotic, bro. Like, I really feed off of that.
Oh, so you a glutton for pain?
No, it's not even pain, but it fuels me. Because it's like, okay, what else you got? What else you
Nigga,
got?
Nigga, where are you going? You about to drop 40? Like,
hey, bro, attack the day,
like,
man.
What is this motivation for? I don't understand.
Like, I'll let y'all in on something. So there was a tweet, and I'll show you. There was a tweet I was going to put out yesterday, and then I thought about it, I said no, because people lack context. But what I was going to say is like, body dysmorphia is like a real ass thing.
Yeah.
Because like, I'll be at work or wherever I'm at and I could get compliments from men or women. They'd be like, oh, yo, like this one guy, he comes in all the time. He's like, man, he's like, why don't you play basketball anymore? Like you look like you could still go. And I'm like, nah, dog, like whatever. But when I go look in the mirror, I'd be like, bro, you got a shape. You look like shit. You look like this. Like, I really do that to myself.
Yeah.
And I was going to put that, but I was like, ain't nobody going to understand. Because it's not like, I'm not, like, putting myself down. I'm, like, in a depressed state or anything. Yeah. But I really be looking at shit and I don't see what other people see about me. And it'd be so weird.
I think that, okay, one, I'm sorry that you have to go through that. Number one. Number two, hey bro, y'all not supposed to laugh when I say that.
That is hilarious.
No, I didn't laugh. I just.
I'm sorry.
You got a big dog. Look.
And two, I think that's and not to be dismissive, because I think we all go through that, bro. Like we all visualize ourselves in a way that other people don't view us. I feel like everybody goes through that. So, be a little easy on yourself. Nigga, you got a dad body, motherfucker. You got a dad body. It's okay. Accept it. You got 6 kids. Nigga, live with it. You're not the same. It's okay.
Be kind to yourself.
Yeah, what the hell?
You have to be kind to yourself because the world will not. Right? Boy. Nobody's going to love you if you don't love you. I learned that from dealing with broken people. And boy, did I have fun trying to fix a broken person.
Tell me about it.
yeah,
see? We thought you were just going to let that pass. Now tell me about it.
Well, I mean, in my time, I've, you know, I'm
this
old.
Is the personal part, motherfucker. We no subjects, no nothing. We just talking.
I'm old, so I've dealt with people, and at one point I dealt with somebody who had what would be perceived today as social anxiety.
Okay, cool. So weird around people.
Yeah, I get it. Cool. You got social anxiety. You don't like being in public. Hey, I'm a homebody ass nigga too.
Okay.
And my home is comfortable. So like, come through. We'll hang out at my house. We'll hang out at your house. But then the more and more you deal with the person and you know the work that you're putting in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see the other person not putting in any work, oh, so you don't go to a therapist? Oh, okay. Well, that's weird.
Because
I go to one. Oh, you. So nobody even diagnosed you with social anxiety. You just self-diagnosed. Oh.
Yeah, I get fucking weird when I'm around people.
And that's cool to get weird when you're around strangers, because I get weird when I'm around strangers, and my reaction is normally humor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell, like, fucking dad jokes or, like, fucking Chevy Chase National Lampoon's jokes when I'm nervous in groups.
Yeah, we got to talk about your infatuation with white people one of these days, but that's
okay. Well, travel, bro. That's all.
Yeah, I know.
But dealing with this broken person, and it was just like, hey, you know, I can let all your shit slide, but one day I would like you to put some work in to these issues you got.
School, you an invasive ass nigga, bro.
That's not invasive. That's if I'm dealing with you on a personal level for over years,
yeah,
and you're telling me that you got anxiety or you're depressed.
Yeah.
And you never go to go see somebody about it.
Mm-hmm.
How can you expect me to deal with your depression, the pits of your depression, which is really difficult?
Because one, it's not your fucking place to tell me to go to therapy.
You're right.
Two, you accepted me for 9 months, 3 months, 2 months, 4 months, a year. As this crazy motherfucker. You know, when I get low, I get low. And when I get high, I get high. And you probably enjoy the highs because you probably have a lot of fun in the highs. So it's your job as the partner or whatever to accept me for how the fuck I am. Don't try to change me. Let me decide whether or not if I want to go to therapy or not. It's not your place. That's pushy. That's like saying your girl is a little chubby and you forcing her to the fucking gym every day. Nigga, she likes the pooch. She likes that shit.
Nah, that's different.
She likes
because her weight, her pudginess has never impacted me negatively. But a person's depression, dealing with your partner who's depressed, they can lash out at you. And for me, to sit here through all of these bad spells of your depression, for me to take you back, eventually I'm going to say, bruh, you got to go deal with this in a real way.
Okay.
Because I can't be your punching bag because it's the winter time and you're in seasonal depression.
And like, that version. I understand that. Okay. I understand that version, but the original version, no, nigga. I get a little sad sometimes.
Nigga, I get a little sad sometimes.
I had a stroke.
I get a little sad a lot of times. Like, nigga, if the moon goes down, if the moon comes up too quick.
All right. You can't just, like.
No, I'm trying to out-sad you, my nigga.
All right, bro. Like, what the fuck? I had a stroke. I've never had no ailments.
We trying to out-sad people? Hold on. I almost died awards.
Like, no, nigga. We can do the I almost died awards later. Like,
but I did two times.
Yeah, but I get it. I'm cool. Like, the furthest thing I had was like a tailbone injury. You know, like,
and how did that make you feel?
It wasn't fun. Like, the worst shit that's happened to me is like physically is like sports injuries. You know what I mean? Like real nigga shit. You know,
his waves wasn't spinning one day.
Not being a clumsy ass nigga and fucking having a seizure and almost dying. You know what I'm saying? Like. Too many hookers in the hotel, you know.
Too many hookers in the hotel. It's crazy.
That's crazy. Are you putting that mustard on my jacket?
Dying under the box is crazy.
Bro, one of y'all, I mean, hey, you put your name in front of the bullet. That was you. That's you.
Arugula.
Hey, stop. I got a question, though, for real. What is something, I got two more questions. What is something that you're most proud of?
Love X.
Oh man, y'all already know what my most.
Nah, don't give me the easy one. Don't give me the family. No, think about it. Don't give me the easy one.
Well, I'm just gonna put it on record, and I'll give you another one. My most, most proudful is my family, my children, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, to give you a little more on that, the best feeling is that when my kids are without me or my wife. And everybody, and when I say everybody, I mean like literally everybody tells you your children are so well behaved. That's like the best feeling.
Do you beat your, do you whoop your kids?
That's the best feeling, bro, because
you spank your kids.
Bro. Yes, they do get threatened. They do get threatened.
That's why, but, nigga.
No. But I think of it when I was a kid. Ahead, I think of it when I was a kid and when I was out without my mom or dad, how I was acting. What I'm saying is that, that's always a good thing as a parent. That's like my first go-to thing. The second thing, it don't mean shit now, but when I graduated from college, like I was really proud. I was really proud to do that because I was the first one in my family to do it. So
why don't it mean nothing?
Because when you get to the real world, that damn bachelor's degree don't mean shit. Like I could have honestly saved on the debt.
Don't do that to yourself.
I could have saved on the debt and probably been where I'm at now still.
But you don't know that.
But it only reason why I say this is because what we thought going into college versus mm-hmm. what we got coming out of college mm-hmm. didn't match up. And the money that was spent don't line up. Like I would tell anybody that doesn't have a full ride, if you're going to do the college thing, do 2 years at community and then do 2 years at whatever university or college you want to go to. Because the only thing that matters on the school-wise, the degree-wise, is where you get the degree from. The experience, mm-hmm. you cannot be a student at that school and still be at all the parties and still be at all the events. If you go to that neighboring community school that's next to the big university, you could get that same experience because college ain't locked down like high school is. You can walk freely on campus and do all of that. Niggas will sneak you into the dorms and do all that, or if you find a girl or whatever. Like you can still get you can, I know you know. You can still get all of that experience. So what I was doing in school, like yes, I got some lifelong friends from it.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like the debt and all of that that comes with it, it's not worth it. To me anyway. And I think most people will tell you, it's not a joke when you see it online when people do it. People really mean that shit. It's a scam. The concept of college is a scam. Like it's,
I didn't go to school. I wouldn't know.
I would say the real people that need to be in college are the people that are doing like the doctor shit.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor shit and the lawyer shit. Like the mm-hmm. shit that you got to read and talk to people with and do some internships behind and do all of that. That's what I think it's for.
Okay.
Because the teachers and all that shit don't get paid enough to go through what they go through, and then the only way their student loans can get forgiven is they go work in the hood for a year or two. That's a fucked up system.
I mean, motherfucker, go give your community service, motherfucker. Shit.
But that's all, I mean, man.
I don't know. I don't think that you're being fair to yourself by saying it don't matter, though. You did something in your family that's never been done before. That's
well, it's been done now. My sister, she graduated.
But you were the first.
Yeah.
You were the first.
You're right.
That matters. That's important. Being the first to do something for any family or lineage or generations, I think that's important, bro. Like, I think that's really important. Don't sell yourself short.
I appreciate that.
I think the thing that I would say I'm most proud of or my biggest accomplishment was leaving home.
Mm.
Releasing myself from the grips of that family. You got to stay here and, you know what I mean, make the family progress shit.
Yeah.
I grew up in an environment where my grandpa, who's like my dad, was like a dictator. Nigga, he didn't play that shit, bro. Everybody did exactly what the fuck he said. Like, and there was no, nigga, no pushback, no arguing, no nothing, bro. You gonna do exactly what he said. But everybody moved on his accord because he was the provider. Like, he provided everybody in our family with not only opportunities for work, but just he was a fixer like Scully, you know? So getting away from that system and that environment was hard. That was a challenge. And that's something I'm definitely most proud of.
Well, that's really dope. Can I ask you with your grandfather? Was he? What did he have any military background, or was it just like from hard times? Like, I'm trying to kind of gauge where that came
from. My grandpa was one of, he grew up in the 40s, and he was one of the first kids to be like indoctrinated into the regular school system. And so he grew up very hardened. He was a loan shark, from what I understand. No military background. Played semi-pro football. So I would assume most of the constructive and all that shit came from sports. From what I understand and from what I was told, his father, well, not his father, but his stepdad, the guy who raised him, might have had some military experience, but like me, he left home at a young age. So I don't think that really impacted him much. To be honest, bro, I don't know where that type of upbringing comes from, bro. I don't know where that stern, you know what I mean? I don't know where
it might just be life. It might just be life hardening him, and then
I never had the chance to ask.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I'm sorry for that, man.
No. It's fine. But it might be life. It might be. Yeah, you might be right.
Generational.
I love you opening up with us, Doko. I appreciate it.
It might be. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
It's so natural, bro. It comes out, bro. Like, this is you, bro. This Doko's is the deep down you.
Doko's a teddy bear, bro. Don't let the hardened exterior fool y'all. Doko's a teddy bear.
Doko been trying to shame me for my height, and he an inch taller than me. It's crazy.
Bro, that's not... All right.
But go ahead, Scully. Go ahead, Scully. I don't want to interrupt.
Take pictures one of these days.
What I'm most proudest of?
Most proud of. Oh, fuck. You went to school.
Yeah, well... I partied a lot when I was there. So I would say, if we're talking about recent history, and I don't want to sadden us out, I'm definitely not trying to outside y'all. But my father passed away in September, and like that was my guy. Like that was like my guy big time. So I was proud that I was able to go out there, tend to his business, go to his crib, deal with his neighbors, and just handle like all the shit that happens when somebody passes. And I said it in an angry moment, but I didn't mean it. But when I said it to a nigga's face, I was like, none of y'all could do what I did. But I said that out of anger, but it was a legit feeling. Like, I don't think anybody could have done what I did, not because they weren't capable, but it was difficult shit to deal. Like, it's fucking April. I'm still dealing with this shit today. Like, I got a phone call on Thursday. Like, yo, hey, just want to let you know, bro. We got some other business for you to tend to. So I think dealing with that, and then just coming to the realization that your parents do a lot for you, right? Like, in life, your parents do a lot for you, but everything that your parents do for you...
Can't relate.
No, your parents do a lot for you. But everything that your parents do for you or have done for you, it's so that you can deal with life when they're not here. And it's like my dad was like one of those guys that would talk to you at 5 years old, like you were 45 years old. So I'm like the same way with my kid. Like,
I can't relate.
I give my kid like the coldest fucking speeches, and she'd just be looking at me. She's like, yeah, you know I'm 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, her whole life, she's been like, yo, you know I'm 14, right? Like, you know this is way above my age bracket, but I give it to her just because that's how it was given to me. So
mm-hmm.
My biggest thing was tending to his business. My accomplishment in life, and this will sound shitty because, like, I should say, like, oh, I have a kid and my kid is doing great. I found my purpose. I found my purpose, and I found my purpose with my job. It wasn't chasing my dream. It was with my actual job, and I found my purpose, and, like, that's what I'm good at. That's what gets me through the tough times. Like, when I get in that dark place and it's like, ooh, shit's getting crazy. Seasonal depression. Yeah, I got it. Hey, you know what? You got 17 interviews on the dock today, my nigga. You got to get on stage. You can't half-ass it. You can't shortcut this. So, say what?
Nothing. Go ahead, man.
See, Doko said some smart shit. So,
that's crazy.
Since we talking about parents, I had this question
I do want to say rest in peace to your father, bro. But go ahead.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, condolences.
Condolences, yes.
So I had this note in my notes app.
You're supposed to tell niggas that shit, by the way.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead. We're going to talk about it off. Yeah,
I didn't know y'all in September.
Nah, bro. That's
he said this. Wait, he did say this. He did tell us this.
Oh, all right. My bad.
You know I'm elephant memory. He did tell us this.
Yeah, you are.
So yeah. I got this notes in my notes app, and since we're talking about parents, this is funny. Well, not funny, haha, but ironic. So the note says, how your kids treat you when they don't rely on you for food and or shelter is a direct reflection on how you treated them or made them feel when they needed you to survive. That's a bar.
No, like that's crazy.
I like that.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So, for y'all and for the pod listeners, I want y'all to do some homework this week. I want you to take a good look, a good examination of how you treat your parents today. And I want you to make a direct correlation to how you treat your parents today to how they treated you when you needed them to survive. Because the shoe was on the opposite foot. And a lot of people, they hit 18, they move out their parents' house, they never talk to their parents again. Clearly, bad relationship, right? But sometimes it's a spurned relationship. So that's my homework for the listeners. Please send emails to twiypod@gmail.com. Reach out to the guys where you know the guys from.
Cashew.
Yes, sir.
Hold on with that.
I would prefer you to call Mama, me Phil you. Than Cashew.
I said subject line Cashew. That's the, you know what I mean? That's the subject, Cashew.
I just want my mom to know I love her. She listens to the pod. Mom, I love you. I appreciate you every day. We're going to keep going up. Enjoy Nashville.
That's cute.
Don't kick your mom's back in on the next podcast.
That's cute. Either. Yeah, right. Like, you gotta pick her up from every pod now.
You said what?
You got to pick her up every pod now.
Yeah, oh, I always big her up.
When we do shout-outs, you got to big up mom.
Bro, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, though. Some people don't have that experience.
No, it's true. It's a lot of shitty parents out there. As a Scully, I'm sure you experienced this when your daughter was younger. When you see some of these kids at these schools and stuff, like where a parent is never shows up to anything, where they always group with your kid because they know that you or the other parent is going to show up. Mm-hmm. You notice little things like that. When you go to basketball, football, baseball, whatever games, and the parent is never there. Those little things matter to these kids, man.
But that's generational.
Yeah, like, I know that.
I would never put it on my parents' generation to not handle mental health correctly. I'm never putting that mustard on their jacket because they didn't know no better. they didn't know any better whatsoever. And when they took us to the doctor and you was fidgety or you was antsy or you sweated a lot, they said, oh, shit, your kid needs Ritalin. Mm-hmm. No, nigga, I had anxiety because I didn't like being in crowds and I didn't like being made to speak in front of strangers.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctor said, nah, ADHD, he needs Ritalin.
Hey,
so they were doing the best with what information they had. Like, that was just it. Like, we're in the generation where we got beatings.
Yeah.
Because our parents got beatings, because their parents got beatings because of slavery.
Now that's like,
I'm telling you, but you don't beat your kids today. Why? Because you got beatings in the day. Because
I got beat,
good.
Nigga, and I know how that shit felt.
And it didn't fix nothing, too. Right?
Why didn't it?
No. When you got beatings, it didn't fix nothing, right?
No.
You were still a bad kid, and you just got beat.
Yeah.
With them, they was maybe potentially bad kids, but it's generational.
No.
I'm never going to get mad at a 70-year-old man being racist because he don't know no better. He ain't have the internet.
Nah, bro. At a certain point. Hold on. Wait. Yeah, exactly. At a certain point, you got to be the person who decides to fucking break the chain.
Yeah. The 70-year-old
ain't
going to do that.
Keep that shit to yourself.
Okay? But their fucking 40-year-old daughter or son who's still being racist can break the chain, or their kid can break the chain. Like, bro, you getting beat as a kid is not a justifiable reason to continue to beat your kids. Like you said, you know how that shit felt. You know you didn't like it. So why the because my
you
mom
gotta keep
did
that
to
in
me.
The tuck because it works.
Our generation. I said our beat. Generation. If our generation is beating kids, I'm gonna have a conversation with you, yo. I don't want to step on no toes or nothing, but should you backhand your kids? Like, I'm not our generation. I'm going to step in. But our parents' generation, they didn't have the internet. They don't know no better. They didn't have any alt. What was the alternate?
All right, hold on, wait. I'm going to debunk this shit real quick. Here's the thing. If they didn't know, why the fuck did they tell us don't go to school and tell them people that I put my hands on you?
Because they knew the white people would meddle and take us away.
So they knew that what they were doing was wrong.
No, they knew what they were doing was deemed as wrong in certain spaces.
Oh, hell no. That's a good goalpost, though, you got.
Let me tell a good story. I'm young. My parents, military parents, my brother.
Oh, that makes sense. You got,
Watch this. My brother, Lil Wild. My brother cuts up in school one day, and I can't wait till he comes to the pod and tells this story. But my brother cuts up in school one day, and he runs away frequently. He cuts up in school one day, he comes home, he gets an ass whooping. The next day, he goes to school. He cuts up some more. The teacher says, I'm going to call your parents. He tells the teacher, yo, don't call my parents. Last time you called my parents, I got my ass whooped.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher takes action. She does what she needs to do. CPS was at my house before I got out of school.
Mm-hmm.
I come home. They interview him. They interview me. Yo, what's up? Why your brother got his ass whooped? Oh, because he was bad. He bad a lot. And he run away a lot. And this. I snitched.
Police.
Right? Donnie Brasco on my brother. My bad, Cali. Donnie Brasco on this nigga. They leave us both in the care of our parents. Because beating your kids wasn't bad. Beating your kids in excess for no reason, that was bad. There's a difference. Disciplining back in the 80s and the 90s wasn't deemed as bad. Today, you can't put hands on your kids.
Y'all niggas wasn't smart enough to use your words and discipline your fucking kids.
Use
your fucking words, nigga. You don't have the emotional or...
But they don't have it because they wasn't raised with it.
I figured, nigga. They don't have the emotional bandwidth to explain to your child what they did wrong.
Because they wasn't raised with it. They was beat.
That's such a bullshit excuse.
Bro. They was beat, and they didn't have any other methods, any other science to tell them, hey, you know that's wrong. Hey, you know the downside effects of beating kids? They didn't have that. My aunt beat me, and when she had kids, she didn't beat her kids. Imagine me looking at my cousins, who are 10 years younger than me.
Yeah, you niggas is lucky, you privileged ass niggas.
Wow.
I'm looking at these niggas 10 years younger than me, not getting beatings, and I'm like, oh, y'all niggas got soft. No, they didn't get soft. Mom just read a book. My aunt just read a book or two.
Mm-mm. I disagree. We're going to have to go further on this one of these days, but I just disagree. I disagree, bro. I think that's a cop-out. I think that's such an easy fucking answer for them to, oh, we didn't know. That's bullshit.
Generational?
How the fuck did you have kids?
Because nobody was teaching that. Bro, did you know back in the 80s, before they said you couldn't drink and drive, niggas was taking a six-pack on a road trip. Oh, that shit
was in the seat, nigga?
Yeah, to the crib. And when they said DUIs was a real thing, they went and interviewed niggas at gas stations. And niggas was coming home from work like, I don't want to live in a country where I can't drink a couple cold ones on my way home after a hard day's worth of work.
Okay.
Like, niggas was really fighting for the ability to drink a beer while they drive home from work. Not even some social shit.
It's just like when they started with the cigarette bans in the on the planes and in the buildings and all that shit. Them niggas was wilding out.
Bro, why do we as adults or fucking people who have the ability to make decisions need other people to tell us what to do? Because you know that's not the fucking right thing to do. Nigga, you are drunk. You shouldn't be driving. You are a fucking
But they parent. Didn't know that at the
One
time.
One, two beers isn't drunk. And nobody knew in the 80s that there was a such thing as secondhand smoke. We just knew it was kind of weird to be on an airplane for 16 hours. I was on an airplane for 16 hours going from Louisiana to Germany, and niggas were smoking cigarettes on it. I'm Lighten from it that up. Era.
Whole pack.
Smoking back cigarettes in the movie theater.
I remember going to Perkins and fucking eating cigarettes and eggs. Like,
I remember that. Y'all remember when we used to go to buffets and them niggas be smoking in the buffet? That shit all over the
smoking
food.
Section.
And everything else. No, nigga. They had the smoking section, but them niggas would have that shit at the line the while you at Ryan's or at Golden Corral.
You know why that shit changed?
Because it was
one day and
science?
Said, this ain't right. Nigga, niggas, that's why. Well, niggas somebody read woke a book. Up one day and said, we got to break this chain. That's
niggas,
why.
Niggas I'm not read a book. I'm niggas read up. A book and nope. said, oh, shit, secondhand nope. smoke is a thing?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Science.
I'm
man.
Not getting
Science.
Off this ledge, bro. Stop beating your fucking kids. Stop blaming it on your past traumas. Stop blaming it on your mama and granny. Stop doing that shit. Stop putting your hands on your fucking kids. Period.
Past, I will say this.
Now, if your kids
past,
is bad, but
so see you justified what we talking about. What are we talking about?
That nigga do-rag lace too tight. Man. That's what it is, hey, ladies out, and gentlemen. His do-rag lace too tight.
I was triggered. I was triggered for a second.
Don't no, me, I get it, but
bro,
you got to under...
Drywall. I've been hit with irons. I've been hit with...
See, that's different. Cords, that's abuse. Belts, that's abuse.
All kind of shit, nigga. Stop putting your hands on your fucking kids. Like,
yes.
You made hands that you just named. You named objects. You named
nigga,
material.
That just made me nothing but aggressive. Like,
so don't hit your kids. And there was no excuse for it, but I gotta understand the person and where they were in their life when this happened. When my mom found out they put seatbelts in the car so she didn't have to put her arm like this
okay.
to keep me from going through the windshield.
That's crazy.
Oh, shit. Mom's on my ass about making sure I put a seatbelt on every time we get in this fucking car. She must know something then change. Her hey, arm ain't sturdy enough to hold me.
Growing up, how many more times did your parents do that once the seatbelt laws became like effective? How many more times when they had to hit them brakes hard did your chest get hit with that hand or that arm?
My mom does it today. What are you talking about? Yeah, I'm 40, nigga. My mom does it today. If I'm in the car with her and she driving and she brakes hard, hold on, baby. Hold on.
Yeah, because you was the spoiled ass. Yeah, you know what I mean? You was the brat, bro.
Nigga, I'm sitting in the passenger seat like, unhand me, woman. Mm-mm. Unhand me. What are you doing?
Mm-mm. We about to take a dark turn.
No, so, we're not. We gave our homework.
I gotta get this question off. Just one question.
Oh shit. Okay.
Just one question, and we can end it. What was an apology that you were never able to give?
Can I go first?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Teresa. Two. Oh my bad.
I got two. I got one to my baby, just because I wasn't there every day. And I had, for the most part, I had an everyday dad. So I know the difference between an everyday dad and a distant dad. Mm-hmm. And it's a difference. So I apologize that when I had you, when I conceived you, I had an idea of being there every day for you, and it didn't work out. And you didn't get the experience that you deserved because of me and mom's nonsense. And we fixed it, but I just wasn't moving to Jersey. Secondly, apology to my mom because we beefed for years and didn't speak for years. And now I speak to that woman every day. So, apology to her because there was something in me that didn't understand you, and there was something in you that I just couldn't understand either, and we just didn't see eye to eye, and we wasted time. Like, knowing my parents today as people before they had me is my biggest fucking flex. Like, that's my bit, and I encourage, and I talk about it every chance I get. Learn your parents before they had you. Who were they as humans? And that will help you understand the people that raised you. Talk to their siblings, talk to them, and just sit down and kick it and bullshit on some non-judgmental, what was high school like for you, bro? Were you a ladies man? Like, did you have a lot of ladies on? Like, and just talk to your parents on some casual shit like you would your friends, and you'll see a whole different person pop out. And I think we, in our generation, we're more front-facing. Like, Lovelace is walking his kids down memory lane. Oh, yeah. You know how I used to give it up in high school? Look at me with the soldier boy glasses. You know what I'm saying? Doko was showing his kids his old football pictures. Like, look at me with this. Look at me. This is how you tackle a motherfucker. Like, we give our kids a frontline seat of our adolescence. But our parents weren't like that at all. Like, you heard the shit that was related to a gem.
Yeah.
Hey, I stole from my daddy once. And my daddy worked hard every day. And I learned this lesson because I stole from my dad. Like, you didn't hear nothing that wasn't related to a gem from your parents about their childhood. Mm-hmm. So being an adult, you kind of have that wiggle room to really get to know them as people. And it's my most biggest flex. And it's the coolest shit ever. But my apologies to moms because we wasted time.
Lovely.
Bro. For me, I'm trying to think it out loud, but I would say my it's hard to do this, but
mm-hmm. Your turn.
All right, so one of my mans got Andre Rashad Johnson. He got killed when we were 17, May 2007. A couple months before that, we had got into it. And us being 16, 17 year olds, we ain't, you know, we ain't pieced it all the way up. Like, we have been friends since yay high. Like, I tell y'all about my one man who's like my kid's godfather since third grade, locked in hand. Me and Andre, we've been cool since like fourth, fifth grade. He got killed in a drive-by in 2007, Memorial Day weekend. And never got a chance to, you know, fully piece everything back up lockstep. So, I mean, I have him tattooed on me. Because that's my man's, like, but never getting that final. This is one of them things where, like, bro, you just like, yo, people be gone here today, gone tomorrow. And you just never know. No matter what kind of lifestyle you live in, you just be like, all right, we get to it another day.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. And it's, it's one of them tough things, man. But I think that's the hardest non-apology that I've
had. Haven't been able to give. Yeah.
Because other people, and I told you, I hold stuff in for a while. I'm trying to get better at it. But I'd be like, okay, I'm going to just reach out to this person today and see if they pick up or not. Still working on that. But that was one of the
things. Making progress.
We just never got to it, man. And it eats at me at times. I know, like, whenever I go back, up that way, like, see my aunt them, you know, I make sure to go visit over there and get my condolences and everything. But it's one of them tough things, dude. It's one of those, man.
You gonna fix it, bro. You gotta apply some of that Scully, you know what I'm saying? That fix it nature to that shit, bro. That's what you gotta do.
Yeah, you're right.
But you gonna fix that, bro. You gonna fix that. For me, I would say the way I left home, and it's a tough thing for me because it's the thing I'm most proud of, but it's also something that I wish I could have done differently. I just left in the middle of the night. Didn't tell nobody. Niggas thought I was, like, dead. Like, but I was gone for months before motherfuckers actually knew where I was. And that's something that I wish I could change, because even though, like, me and my mom's relationship ain't the best, she had, like, a mental breakdown. They didn't know where the fuck I was. Like, my pops was kind of, he didn't really appreciate that shit either. So if that's the one thing I could say sorry about, I would. There's a few more, but we ain't going to drag that shit out today. We ain't going to drag that shit out today.
Not have you gotten to the point where you want to have a discussion with them?
Well, today I take care of my mom. So we've had that discussion. She understands. Okay. I can't really speak to him about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the rest of the people who I feel like I don't owe them a conversation. So, nah. Nope, nigga. I left and I'm good. Fuck you, niggas.
Right, no.
Sorry, that was immature. I just felt like the gunshot.
You needed
no,
it.
No, I can't.
My god, fuck you. No, for real though. That's really how I feel. Fuck you, niggas. But that's a different story.
Jesus.
I can't wait to get back to this.
Because
I don't think you can do that with family.
Oh, see, nope, another day.
I know it's another day.
Another day.
I just want y'all to know, next week, I want to talk about efforts. I want to talk about efforts because a lot of times people will tell me, oh, yeah, I'm tired of being the person that reaches out. And if I don't reach out, then we don't talk. And I don't like that type of relationship. And my bag is, yo, who got the scoreboard, bro? Who got the scoreboard? I'm going to always reach out because that's the type of nigga I am. Unless you told me not to, I don't care who reaches out first. In my heart, if I know I reached out, I'm good with it. I tried. I made the attempts. But remember the homework assignment. how your kids treat you when they don't rely on you for food and or shelter is a direct reflection of how you treated or made them feel when they needed you to survive. That's my homework assignment for the listeners. Please make sure you email twiypod@gmail.com with your responses. You know where to reach the guys. That's Doko. That's Lovelace.
_ knows.
And that's our unnamed listener for the evening.
Peace.
Peace.
That is fucking funny.